Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Jamie.
Yay! What's on your
books,
shelf?
Books. Here we go.
It is so good to be chatting about books. I have so many on my shelf. I have really had to narrow it down.
Same here. So many and yet kind of a dry so many.
Oh.
There's a couple good ones in there. Really good ones in there. Not that they weren't good, just very different.
Sure.
It seemed like a lot of them that came available were all maybe the same genre. And so it got a little, maybe old, is what I'm saying. Not that they weren't good. Monotonous. I like that word.
I do too.
Okay. But.
Before we begin.
Yes. Fun fact.
Yay.
So Karen McQuestion, knew nothing about her before this book.
Before now.
And here you go. This is from a blog by, it's, oh, I just had it. jaconrath.blogspot.com. And he interviews Karen, and he's an author as well. And so the title of this post is A Newbie's Guide to Publishing. Is it possible to make a living as a genre fiction writer? Yes, it is. So he starts with some quotes here. J.A. Conrath is selling well because he's an established name. The reason Conrath has sold so many ebooks is because he has a large backlist of print books. Conrath has a platform. That's why he's making $4,000 a month on Kindle sales.
What?
Right? Joe Conrath has a popular blog and he's been self-promoting for 8 years. No one else would be able to sell 40,000 ebooks. So he's stating this and he says, I hear and read quotes like this all the time. Even though I'm pretty sure my ebook sales are fueling my print sales and not the other way around, I still can't seem to get people to understand that ebook success isn't about having a known name. It's about price, quality, and professionalism. So it was a pleasure to talk to an ebook author who is outselling me. Karen McQuestion only has 6 books on Kindle rather than my 13 books, and she's been live for less than a year, yet she's sold over 30,000 copies since July.
Whoa!
Right? So I had no idea about this self-publishing for ebooks only on Kindle. It's so fascinating how different people publish books.
Wow.
And that's what I love about our interviews, but he interviewed her, so we get to learn from it.
I love it.
He says, and guess what? She's never published a book before. So only ebooks at this point.
There's no printed version.
Uh-huh. In 2010, as she started.
Oh, okay.
Now there are.
Okay.
But this is how she started with just ebook. And okay. It's so funny what she says about it. No name recognition, no platform, no backlist, no blog that gets hundreds of thousands of hits on Google like mine does. Karen simply writes good books with good covers and descriptions and posts them on Kindle herself. So she's self-publishing on Kindle just ebooks.
Wow.
So when Karen admitted on this blog how well she was doing, I knew I had to ask her some questions to see what secrets she could reveal about selling well on Kindle. She kindly responded, and here are her answers. So this week and next week, I'll go over some more questions. I'm just going to do this one question today because it's a really long answer. But I just think this interview is just so fascinating.
Yeah.
On finding out how she got started and her unique way to get in and to do so well. So Joe asks her, how and why did you get started self-publishing your ebooks on Kindle? She says, I've always thought of myself as a writer, even during the times when I didn't write anything at all. When my 3 kids were finally in school, I became more focused on writing with the goal of publication. I had success getting my feature articles and essays accepted by magazines and newspapers, but my fiction went nowhere. The first novel I wrote, A Scattered Life, caught the attention of a top agent, and I naively thought I'd made it, even though I never officially signed on as her client. 1 year and 2 revisions later, the agent opted out and I had to start over again. During the next several years, there were more novels and more agents, then contests and direct submissions to editors at various publishing houses. Increasingly, I got the sense that I was getting closer, but no offers were forthcoming. Talk about frustrating. Last spring, I read an article about the author Boyd Morrison. He'd self-released 3 of his unpublished novels on Kindle, and as a result of great sales and reader enthusiasm, wound up signing with Simon & Schuster.
Oh.
His story was a revelation to me. Up until then, I honestly hadn't known that a writer could self-publish on Kindle.
Okay.
I did not know this either, because now it's self-published. You go to Amazon. But back then it was
Kindle. Okay.
Something clicked and I knew I wanted to try to do this myself. At the time, I only knew one person who owned a Kindle and I had never actually seen one.
Oh my gosh.
Is that crazy to think of that?
Yes.
Or any ebook device for that matter. The thought of making money for past work was intriguing, but I had no expectations. I remember saying to my husband that I thought it would be wonderful if I could make enough for a nice dinner out once a month.
Oh my gosh.
I love that that's the goal. Like, right? If we could just go out once a month and have a nice dinner, I'm successful.
Yeah.
That's the measure. That's my goal.
I think that's a great bar to set first.
So she says, I uploaded one of my novels, a romantic comedy called Easily Amused, and a collection of my humorous essays, Lies I Told My Children. By the end of the first day, I had sold a few books.
Wow.
In one day, a few books. I was elated, but puzzled. Who were these people and how did they even find my books? Every week, the sales grew slowly but surely, and then I started getting positive reviews. Spurred on by my initial success, I went back to my other novels and uploaded them one by one. I now have 6 books on Kindle. Sometimes I still can't believe the turn my writing life has taken. A year ago, I was a failed novelist with years of work on my hard drive, and now I have readers and an income. Life is good.
Wow, that's amazing.
Just uploading the book she had already written.
That is so incredible.
No advertising, no platform, just putting them on there and seeing what they do.
I think that is so cool.
She has an income. More than a nice dinner out once a month.
And she doesn't have to share that income with a publishing company.
All on her own.
How about that?
That's so cool. So fascinating.
It is.
The different ways to be a writer. It's not.
It just makes it feel like, why do we make
our
dreams seem so hard?
Right. You're a writer, right?
Yeah.
One day upload and a few sales in the first day. And it lists on here what the ebook price was at the time, like Lies I Told My Children on Kindle for $1.49. So you sell a few, $3. I'm sure there's a kickback to Kindle there too, but
sure.
Life on Hold, $1.99. Favorite, $1.99. Like, none of these are expensive ebooks, you know.
Isn't that interesting? So, but he mentions that, right? Like, the right price point, a beautiful cover.
Yep. And good writing.
Good writing.
And so then there's more questions later on in it. I'll get to those in the next week. But I just thought that was so fascinating.
That was her start.
And how quickly it took off once she uploaded those first two.
It's amazing.
Cool.
Lucky lady.
Cool lady. I love
authors. Hardworking lady.
Authors are genius. Like, they're so creative and the drive to be like, I got to make this work.
Yeah.
I want people to read this.
So interesting.
When have you ever made something and you're like, I need people to see this?
I know.
Right?
I hide it.
Right?
I don't want anyone to see the things that I do. I can't handle the criticism.
Exactly. And they're out there publishing and making careers for themselves.
Right? It's amazing.
I'm super inspired and like, I put them on
a big, Jamie.
Big stage. Yeah. So impressed. I love it. Okay.
Now.
There's your fun fact. Are you reading? Read. I haven't started yet.
We haven't started. We're kind of late bloomers. We like to wait till the last minute.
I like it fresh in my head. But
me too. And I can read it pretty quick or listen.
Yep.
Usually.
Yep.
So we're still just getting excited.
Yes.
Just building anticipation.
So excited.
I am too. But today. But
I have heard really good things.
I have too.
I've had some listeners have sent us messages about it.
We love so much when our listeners read along.
When you give me little ideas of how it is. It is
the most fun to see you guys pick up books that we recommend or tell us that you read along with us and listen to the discussion, right? Our book club discussion.
Or you like when we did this or...
Yes.
It's so fun.
You're out there and we're connecting with you and it makes this so much fun. So thank you for listening.
And also, this is way back when. I'm going to admit, I didn't get an episode up one Monday morning.
Yeah.
We had some issues.
There was some sort of a problem with the whatever. Who knows? Technology.
And probably a bit me too, but I thought it was up, but it really wasn't up. And then there was an internet. You don't need to hear all that. However, episode wasn't up like it normally is early Monday morning. I schedule it the same time every week. And You listener.
Let us know.
Let us know. Hey, your episode's not up.
And where's your episode?
Thank you.
We love that. Thank you for letting us know.
When it goes up on our social media that we have a new episode and it wasn't really there. And it was brought to our attention by a listener. So
I know.
That was like somebody noticed.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you for noticing. Thank you for saying something.
We love that you recognized that it was supposed to be there.
Being here with us.
You're awesome.
You are. We have awesome listeners.
Yeah, we do.
I feel lucky.
Me too.
So, listeners, guess what we've been reading?
46.
We're 46 episodes in.
Woo! This is fun.
This is fun.
We're just getting good.
I feel like we get better every week.
I know.
I hope
you're other so people lucky. Agree.
You're so lucky.
To listen. I love it. Yeah. Okay. But today we're talking about what we've been reading. And like I said before, I probably have 10 books that I could talk about. But we don't have time for that.
Sorry.
I mean, I know you love to listen to us. And we don't like to
overload you with too much at one time.
Yes. I want to give you some books that you actually might be able to go out and read in a decent amount of time.
Right.
So we'll try to narrow it down.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to talk about what I did choose to talk about.
Let's hear it.
You want to go ahead and start. You want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
Okay, so the first book I'm going to talk about is Molokai by Alan Brennert. Have you heard of this? I told you about it.
You told me about it, and I immediately went to my Libby, and I had to put it on hold. It is so not glad you available did. Right now.
You I will be sad. Glad. You are going to like this book. So this waiting. Is a Jamie book. And I liked it too, but it's definitely something Jamie's going to love. It's not a new book. This was written like in 2004.
And so I had never heard about it, but I know of Molokai.
The land, the city, the village.
And so when you said it, I was like, there's a book about
there is a book. Now, it's a fictional book based on, if you're not familiar, I was not familiar. I did not know this was a thing. So I just saw it being talked about on my Goodreads or on, I don't even know. And so I'm like, what is that? I was interested, added it to my list. It is about the Hawaiian Islands. Back in the 50s, they had just leprosy was just really prevalent down there. And in order to keep, you know, there's so many false assumptions about leprosy. They just didn't know. Right. They didn't understand how it was spread. They didn't understand who was getting it, what was happening to them really. It was like so now, sad.
It's Hansen's disease. It's still on the earth today. And it's easily treated.
Yes. Like,
this is the crazy part.
It's very sad.
That so many people were sent to live in colonies.
Yes. So you had to leave your family and home and go stay on a special village on one island that they set aside for people with leprosy. It's devastating. So you follow the story of a 6-year-old girl who contracts leprosy and how she's separated from her family, what happens to her family, what she thinks happens to her family. She doesn't really know because she's separated from them and then eventually transferred to this island and where she lives a majority of her life. And you watch just the progression of science, the progression of democracy at the time, you know, because that, you know, politics play a role. And just her experiences with other lepers, with the nuns who live in this village.
These priests and nuns, because this isn't the only place. There was a place in Texas that I've, the Sanctuary of Outcasts. That's another book about this prison that half housed prisoners, half housed leprosy patients. But it was common that the only people that cared for these leprosy patients were priests and nuns. That seems to be across the board a commonality.
Yes.
So
they had like a home specifically for like young girls or young boys. They lived in different, you know, who maybe had to be taken from their parents. And so they needed to be raised.
To be taken care of.
If you were an adult, you generally didn't stay with the nuns and the priests in their home, you would just build a shack.
And live on the island somewhere your own.
There was a doctor there who would care for you and would study you, which is crazy.
Right.
Anyway, it's very interesting. I don't want to give very much away. I loved it. I gave it 5 stars.
5.
Boom. It was fascinating to me. It was something that I know nothing about. And the author just did such a great job. Like, you love this character and your heart breaks for this character. And it just, I love books that open my eyes to situations that, like, I just didn't understand.
Right.
You know, I love that. I love when that happens. And that's what I felt here. Like, there wasn't a lot. There was awful things that happened. But at the same time, it didn't feel like it was your fault. It was just kind of like, they just did the best they could.
Exactly, for the time. And was it great in today's society? No. Yes. Absolutely not.
And some but hard things happened.
They didn't know. I mean,
And the stigma is devastating. Yes. And I hope that that doesn't still live now. I mean, I don't come in contact with people with Hansen's disease. But I would hope that I wouldn't be afraid. But there was so much shunning and
the fear of the unknown.
Yes.
This just shows.
Like, if you had a family member, even if it was a distant family member and they weren't even around you, like, you'd lost your job, you'd lose your status in the community.
Because of the fear.
Because people thought, now you carry this disease, you're going to spread it to our community. Even though it was some distant relation. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do a lot of stupid things out of fear. Can I just
absolutely
say that?
Absolutely. We still see that now.
We still
see that.
The fear
part of that is still there. Even though we know so much more now about leprosy and we've learned from
Let's
that.
Let's say in lots of situations.
The things that are happening now that we don't know a lot about.
Yes.
And the fear that's involved. Yes. 50 years down the road, we'll know a lot better how we should have behaved. But in the moment,
we're probably not doing
we don't always behave.
Yeah. Fear is not a good motivator.
Right. Right.
I think it's a ruiner.
Right.
I hate fear.
It paralyzes action.
Yeah.
And then we can't learn from it. We have to try things and learn from it. We Absolutely. Have to keep moving and not be paralyzed. So
anyway, that's my
I'm so
first
excited
book.
About reading that book.
It's so I,
love
I can't
diseases.
Wait for you this to read it so we can
great.
Talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to read about it. Okay.
Okay.
My first book is Well-Behaved Women Seldom Make History by Laurel Thatcher Ulrich.
Well-Behaved Women
Seldom Make History.
Okay.
So this is a famous quote that it's made its way around recently. I've heard it in a movie recently. I've seen t-shirts on mugs on, you know, you're just hearing this, well-behaved women seldom make history. And this book is the history of this phrase, where it came from and how it got so popular and went kind of, I'd say viral, but not viral because it
right.
was sold on t-shirts. That's where it started. So Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, she is the author of this phrase.
Okay.
And so she's writing this book about the phrase. And the phrase came from a research paper that she wrote about women in history and that they don't make history. The most you ever heard about women was their eulogies. When they died.
Okay.
And that was the extent of the history of a woman.
That's
back in
devastating.
The day. Yeah. And that's where you learned the most about them. So if you're looking up a great, great, great grandma, you're most likely going to know born, married, died,
children.
Maybe christened, maybe children in there. And then maybe a eulogy that will give you a little bit more perspective into those marriage, children, christening, but written after she's dead.
Right.
Nothing about the things she accomplished while she was alive or beyond what you would write into
a eulogy.
Weird. So when she was writing this paper about that and researching that, she made the comment, well-behaved women seldom make history. It sat dormant for a really long time. Like, scholars read this paper. It wasn't a super popular. I'm not going to say not super popular, but it just didn't make it into mainstream lives.
Sure.
Some girl came across it, like a young teenager. I want to say like, and it's been a couple weeks since I read this. So don't quote me on this, but young, 21, came across this paper and was reading it for something and read that line, well-behaved women seldom make history, and opened up an online shop and was selling it, printing it on t-shirts and selling it. And it went crazy.
Oh my goodness.
She has set up a whole business with phrases like this on t-shirts, mugs, whatnot. And
oh my goodness.
She has a successful business with this. Like,
that's amazing.
She's done a great job for herself creating a business and finding with this one phrase. So after this phrase has become popular, Laura went back and did the research and found out that that's where it really started and kind of the history of where it's shown up since then and who's using it and in what, how they're using it. Like, what does it mean? How they're interpreting this phrase, which was right. a little different than her, how it was originally written. And so then she goes back through history and talks about where this idea comes from. She picks three novelists in history and kind of goes over their books that hit feminism. And it just is it's a brief history of women and the feminine fight for rights and what they did to be able to do things out of the typical norm of their era.
Right.
And it goes all the way up through, you know, the current time of when it was published, which was in 2007.
Okay.
So it's not super up to date now, but up until that point, just the different eras and what women were going through and what was published about women and what was written about women in those times.
How so interesting.
It gave me some new books, like the three books she focuses on in those authors. Super, I'm interested in reading those now. And it was just, it gave me a lot of like, these women back in those times did that. Awesome. Good for them.
Yeah.
What are we doing now to keep the steam pumping, to yeah. keep this in the forefront of women belong in history?
Yes, they do.
And I have to say, today I was just researching a local university that's looking at changing their name and filling out a survey on what the options, possible options were. They were trying to get people's input. And I was disappointed there wasn't a woman's name on there.
To
name it after. There's men's names to name it after. And there's like local features and historical people and their educational philosophy for naming. But not anything comes down to a woman. I'm thinking
really
we're still
to make progress here.
Fighting.
Yeah.
Yes. We're still fighting for our names to be somewhere. Because we did
even
something.
Even on the list to be considered.
Yes.
Just come on. Come on. We can do better.
We were there. Women were there.
Yeah.
When this area was established.
Represent, please.
Yes. In all places where things were established. In all corners of the world, women were there and were a part of this. Write their stories down.
Do not forget them. Yes.
Write our own stories down. I guess that's a lesson for us too. Just as much as that we need to be writing down what
we've
done.
Who has time for that?
Because they were doing everything.
Yeah, for real.
They were busy as well.
While the men sat in their offices writing about themselves.
That's right. Come on. Give them an hour to write. Darn your own socks. Anyway.
We're all...
It just got me all riled up.
Yes, exactly.
That happened today, and I went down a rabbit hole of researching women in history at the time in this area.
I love that.
And then, I mean, I read this book a couple weeks ago, but it just all full circle today. There you go. There's my...
So what did you give it?
I gave it 4 stars.
I love it.
Yeah. It was super... I mean, it's... I don't want to say dry. It's academic. Like, there's a lot of information in here.
Okay.
But it's... very, very interesting. I don't want to say dry. That was the wrong word. But it's academic.
Thick. It's heavy, maybe.
Yeah.
Heavy in...
It's information and some you're like, okay, facts. Okay. But then you hit something and you're like, what? And then, which is actually kind of good because if my emotion was as high as sometimes it got the whole book, I would probably be raging at the patriarchy. And that might... not get me
it
anywhere, but
be,
I'd maybe be in history because I wouldn't
productive.
Be so well behaved.
Right?
Yeah,
there you go.
There were some very maddening things in there and just some very inspirational women.
Cool.
That have paved the way to where we are now. And it's our job to continue the path.
I love that.
Anyway, great book. 4 stars.
Cool. Okay.
I liked it.
All right. The next book I'm going to talk about is The Husband's Secret by Leanne Moriarty. And I talked about Leanne last time we did
And here
What's
goes another
show.
One.
I love her so much.
I do too. And I love that book.
Did you read it?
I think I've... Yes.
Yes.
I think I've hit all of Leanne and Moriarty. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 5. I just love her so much.
It doesn't tell me what you rated it.
What? I'm going to pull it up. The husbands. The husbands.
Yes, you did. You gave it 5 stars.
Did I give it 5 stars? Okay.
Okay.
That doesn't surprise me.
So let me give a quick overview before we start talking about it. So the husband secret, you start out and you're kind of...
Wait, what did you give it? Do you want to say that
yet? I gave it 4 stars.
4 stars. Okay.
Yeah. I love Leanne. I'll tell you why I didn't give it 5 because it isn't... It's a good book and I definitely recommend reading it. It's about... You follow three women. I think there's only 3. And they're adult women. They're married. One is a widow. 2 are married. And you're just kind of following their lives because Leanne is the master of women.
And their lives.
Yes.
And making you feel so
real.
Like you are their friend.
Yes.
And you get it. And you could be sitting right there with them.
Mm-hmm.
She's a master
so,
at that. I agree.
One woman, the widow lost her husband recently, passed away, natural causes, but she had a daughter who died when she was 16 years old, murdered, and they never found the killer. So she's still like dealing with that loss. Like it never goes away. Just misses her daughter and feels like she knows who it was, like a local person. And so she talks about that. Then there's another woman who is married. She has a young son. And her and her husband and her cousin started a business together. And they're doing this business. In the very beginning of the book, finds out the husband and the cousin jointly together tell her that they've fallen in love. And so they are so sorry. They're so sad because they love her and they don't want to hurt her, but they're just in love. And she's totally taken off guard. She has no idea. They've spent all this time, you know, she loves her cousin. She loves her husband. Thought her marriage was fine. And they even go so far as to suggest maybe they all just live together. Because they have this business together. They don't want to mess up the boy's life. And they already spend so much time together anyway.
Yeah.
So she kind of says, like, so you want me to move out of our bedroom so that cousin, I can't remember the cousin, can move in?
Move in. And then we'll just live here together.
Be down the hall? Like, I don't know what goes through people's heads.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. But so she's very frustrated and in her anger and sadness decides she's going to go take care of her mother who has hurt her ankle or something. So she's going to take her son, fly far away, and you'd figure this out. So she's just like, they haven't even consummated their love because they don't want to hurt her. So now it's really this unrequited love. Or not unrequited, it's what? This forbidden love.
Well,
so anyway,
aren't they following all the right rules?
I know.
No.
So she's like, just do it already.
Just do it.
And then get it out of your system because she doesn't believe it would last, right?
Oh my gosh, right.
Anyway, so she leaves. Then the third woman, she's married, her husband, they have 3 daughters. Husband travels quite a bit for work and she's a Tupperware salesman and she's the PTA president and just like busybody kind of at the school. Not like a busybody, that kind of, she's just... Always
she's
doing things.
And,
yes.
Yeah. Part of the community.
Yeah. Just kind of busy. And finds a letter that's to her from her husband when he dies. And she's like, that's weird. Like, why would he write me a letter?
He's not dead.
Yeah. So she's like, tells him, hey, I found this letter that you wrote. But she doesn't open it. It's sealed. Mm-hmm. And he's like, don't open it. And he's really weird about it. He's like, oh, I said some weird things in there. I was sappy and I'd be embarrassed. Don't open it. And she's like, why can I read that? That would be wonderful to hear you say loving things about me. But she respects him and doesn't open it. So anyway, you follow these 3 women and how their lives intermingle because they are all separate women.
Mm-hmm.
But they end up in, you know, all in the same community. And just like what happens in their lives and the choices we make and where that leads us. Like, what does that mean when you make this choice? Like, it kind of, at the end, I felt like it kind of is saying, what's fate and what's choice? And you can make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't happen to you.
Right.
You choose a lot of what happens to you.
Right. You put yourself in the situation.
Yes.
That then things happen.
Yes. And then you make a choice on how to deal with
it. You were involved.
Yeah.
You were part of it.
And then you're like, what am I going to do now that I've been involved? with a situation.
Yes.
Right? Like the first wife, she chose to leave. Does she take him back? Does he want to be taken back? Does she choose to live with them, the three of them? Like, things you just have choices,
you.
Right?
You choose within.
Within the parameters. Yes.
Of the choice.
Okay. Yeah. So I love her books. I loved the ride that it takes you on. It is kind of screwy. Like, oh my gosh, where is this going? It gets crazy. And I thought that was so fun. But it was kind of like, it almost ended up, I didn't love the one family situation. So that's why I gave it a 4. And it wasn't writing style or anything like that. It was just like, I didn't like how she ended up, you know? But I loved a lot, everything else about it. Yeah. I loved the other two and how that turned out. You know, we shouldn't judge. I think that really is a good lesson here.
Yeah. We don't know everything that's going on.
No. You know, a very small, and maybe you're doing things because you think something.
Right.
And it's going to have long lasting side effects that maybe you should stop judging.
You should, yeah.
And then you wouldn't do things because you're not judging.
Right.
Anyway, it's so fun. Who doesn't love Leanne Moriarty?
Love her.
Like, if you have not discovered her yet, go find her.
Go start with What Alice Forgot.
I love What Alice Forgot. And then go from there.
They're all great.
They're so good.
So, so good.
Anyway, okay, so that was The Husband's Secret.
I love it. Okay, next for me is The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
You have the funniest titles. Say that one more time. Okay,
you haven't heard of this one.
No!
Oh my gosh, I loved it so much. The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon. And it is so good. It came out in 2004, so it's been around for a while. I've heard, like, I've noticed a lot of my friends on Goodreads had read it, and it's been one that I've floated around for years and just never got to.
Okay.
I loved it so much.
What is it about?
It is a story about this boy who is 15, and he is on the spectrum. This is a child who has autism. And so, and he's explaining, it's from his point of view. He's writing a book and he doesn't like lies. He can't lie. And so he's writing about, like if he were to write a story of something else, that would be a lie. So he's so black and white.
Sure.
And so he wants to write a book. So he's going to write about this an experience he's had. So he's writing. And last night he found a dog with a pitchfork in it and the dog is dead.
Oh.
And so he's deciding he's going to investigate the death of this dog and find out who killed this dog.
Okay.
But the whole time he's explaining, oh, I don't like brown things. I don't like yellow things. So I couldn't eat that. And just all the little intricate things of autism and how the day is in the mind of an autistic person.
Yeah.
And then his mom is out of the picture. She has left and left the, she is, he talks about that his mom died. So it's just his dad now. And dad takes care of everything. Dad works. He does this. Dad comes home. We do this routine. Like the routine of this kid, if it's going to be a good or a bad day, depends on how many yellow cars he sees in a row on the bus on the way to school or how many brown cars. And he counts them. So it's going to be a bad day if there's this many of this color car, or a good day if I see this many of yellow. And today's a good day because there were 4 yellow cars in a row or things like that. Like everything has a rule to it, I guess you'd say, in his life. And so he's just going to go around the neighborhood and talk to people and find out who killed this dog.
They're just going to tell him.
Yeah. And some people know him, some people don't. And his dad's frustrated, like, just knock it off. Stay out of this. Because he ends up taken to the police department because when the owner of the dog comes out and sees that her dog is dead, he's holding the dog. And so she thinks he's killed the dog. And the police come and he doesn't like to be touched. And the police officer, he's trying to answer the police because he likes police. Police follow rules and police wear uniforms and he likes uniforms. And so the police are asking questions, but the way he answers questions is frustrating to the police. Like the police don't understand that this is a child with autism. as often is the case.
Yeah.
When you encounter a child or an adult with autism, and the policeman goes to touch him and he doesn't like to be touched. And so then he freaks out and he actually hits the police officer. So the police officer take him into custody, which is more touching.
Lots of touching.
And they call his dad, and the dad has to come down to the jail to get him out. Anyway, so that's the beginning. That's what happens, like, the first part of the book. And the story he's writing about solving the murder of this dog actually turns into solving the world around him that he didn't know the other things that were going on, all the things that come to light in this investigation. So I loved how it opened my eyes to people with autism.
Yes.
And how the intelligence that's there, the things that just the patience required, like these parents that are working with them, and that they are humans, they have needs, and they have a set of rules that they live by that makes me stop and consider a little bit more my interaction. Mm-hmm. And
right.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I love the perspective of a character that takes me outside of my own life and to see life through another person's eyes. And this is exactly that. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. It's not very long. I got through it really, really fast. It has over a million ratings.
I was just going to say that. Can we just say how many people have read this book? That is crazy.
1,200,000.
I never see that kind of those kinds of numbers. Real
amount, and it gets 3.89, which
it's a great rating, especially with them over a million views.
Right, I would give it more.
But that's crazy.
There you go. I gave it 5 stars. I found it very endearing, and one that I think I will read with my kids too. Like, I just think it's good for all humans of all ages to understand different perspectives.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one that it's perfectly appropriate for, my youngest is 11. And so I would say perfectly appropriate for 10 and above.
Awesome.
So
very cool.
Excellent read.
I love that.
There you go.
Okay. My next one is Breaking the Silence by Diane Chamberlain.
Oh, Diane.
I love Diane. See, I'm sticking with my, like,
I have all these author friends that don't know that they're my friends. And I need them all to live by me so we can talk.
I know.
Just be my neighbor.
And they need to continue to write more books so that I have them to read.
Because I love them so much.
I love them.
And I know they'd love me.
Of course they would.
Right?
Yes.
They would just come, move in.
Take we'll a listen start and having you'll
conversations.
See. I know, because are you hearing how much I love your books? I love your books.
You, Diane. Yes.
So this is an oldie. 1998.
Ooh.
Thank you, Diane.
I was a spry college student in 98.
I was a spry sophomore in high school. I love that I've discovered an author that still, like, I can still find her books. So if she's not currently... Still
books that you haven't read yet,
because
there's so many.
So I can keep reading her because she's got so many, and they, you know, I love that. So that's how I feel about Diane Chamberlain. Like, I'm always like, wait, I haven't read that one.
Yeah.
I haven't read that one.
Okay, here's another one.
Yeah. Okay, so Breaking the Silence. I'll give you a little bit of history.
Okay.
It starts really, really quick with a woman who is married to a man who is 20 years her senior.
That phrase used to confuse me so much when I was in, like, junior high, late elementary. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? A senior in high school? Like, I don't get this phrase.
Yeah, he was 20 years so before she was. So it frustrates
me still.
20 years older than her.
Right.
I think he's 21 years.
No, anyway, so I get
she's
it.
Older. But
the phrase still
in case that we have a listener.
Right.
Who's never understood
that
phrase. Maybe you're not alone, Jamie.
Maybe I'm not alone that one frustrated me for so long.
Right. He is
20 years older.
20 years older than her.
And if you said 20 years my junior, that would mean 20 years younger.
Yes.
Lessons by Jamie.
You're welcome.
Always educating we are.
Sweetheart, you're so glad you listened. So back to this beautiful woman who married a man who was older. They got married because she was pregnant. She got pregnant. She found herself pregnant. She's an academic and never imagined that she would have children. Okay, she gets pregnant, doesn't know what she's going to do. The father is not an option. So he is a dear friend.
He's not the father. Okay.
He's a dear friend and offers to step in and marry her, and they can have a family and friendly marriage. Now, not to say that they weren't intimate. They were, but it wasn't very common. And it was definitely a marriage of friendship.
Okay.
Okay? Companionship.
Yeah.
And they have a six-year-old daughter at this point.
So he is the father to the daughter, steps in as your dad. Okay.
Yes, adoptive father is kind of how they, and she knows, I think that the daughter knows that, yeah.
Okay.
And at the very beginning, the wife, I think her name is Lara, Lara's father passes away.
Okay.
And in his dying breath says this woman's name, and that he makes Lara promise to take care of her, this woman, and there's a phone number. So she's like, she's never heard of this woman, promises. Right? She's never heard of this woman before. She's never, this is a stranger to her. She has no idea. She goes home to her family, and says, it's the middle of the night and her husband's waiting for her. And she says, and he's depressed. He's a retired professor and he's trying to get a book published, and he's being rejected. So he's depressed. And she's like,
he should do an ebook on Kindle.
He totally should. Well, this was 1998.
Give it really, 10 years, buddy. Yeah, exactly. Then hit Kindle up. Sorry.
So he is sad. And she tells him of this, how weird her dad mentioned this name and whatever, and wants her to take care of this stranger woman. And he gets really upset, and he's like, you've got to leave it alone. Like, your dad always wants to control you. Now he's controlling you from the grave, and he's really upset about it, irrationally. And she's like, well, it's the last thing he's ever going to ask me to do. I can go look in on this woman and make sure she's okay. Come to find out, her father in his will set up a trust to pay this woman. She's older, lives in a senior care facility.
Okay.
A senior care living center.
Okay.
And this, he pays for it.
He pays for her care.
And why? And she can't figure out why. She has no idea who this woman is. And so she, because even though her husband is adamant that she leave it alone, she's like, I'm going to just go check on her. It's okay.
This is weird. She's as much interested in who it is. It's okay
for me. I'll be gone an hour.
Yeah.
So she goes and checks in on this woman, and she's got Alzheimer's. She's just living in the past. She doesn't really remember day to day or moment to moment what's happening, but she has a very clear memory of her past and when she was younger. And she loves to talk about it. And she tries to find, do you know my father? And she says his father. She doesn't have any recollection of this, her father, and doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Well, when she goes home, her husband has committed suicide.
Oh my gosh.
In front of the daughter. So the daughter, and this all happens very quickly, so I'm really not spoiling anything. She's six. She won't speak from that moment on. She can't. So months and months pass, and she's not speaking. So she's going to a counselor. The husband is now passed away. She's so traumatized. The husband's brother doesn't want Lara to continue with this woman. It was the one thing he asked you not to do, and now you're still meeting with this woman. What's wrong with you? But she's still very curious, and she's found that this woman has no companionship, and she feels for her. And she's like, I can take a little bit of time to... Anyway, so it's the story of Lara as she tries to understand why this woman is important to her father, how she fits into her history, and why it was so important to her husband that she not see him. And how can I get my daughter to start talking again? And she finds she's trying. Fight. Yeah, she's trying to figure this all out. And you kind of watch her take this journey. And it was really good because Diane Chamberlain is really, really good. And it's really good. It was disturbing. I have to say, when you start to learn the history and you listen to this woman's past, as Lara learns it by visiting her, it's very sad. And a lot of it deals with mental institutions, you know, like in the 60s, 50s and 60s, and like the kind of experiments that they did on these people who had mental illness, because she was a nurse in a mental hospital, and it's horrific. And that is disturbing. Like, it was hard to learn and listen. Again, a new thing for me. I didn't know a lot about it, but like the things that they were doing in these hospitals that their families didn't know about, it's awful. It is really awful. So I definitely learned a lot there. That was disturbing, but I loved the book and I gave it 4 stars. I definitely think if you love Diane Chamberlain, this is definitely a book you will enjoy.
Yeah.
It was good.
Sounds good. Sounds like lots of things.
A heavier one.
Yeah.
It was good.
Excellent. Good one. Okay. Mm-hmm. My next one is called Lab Girl by Hope Jarin.
This has been recommended to me by a friend.
Oh.
It's on my to-read list.
Fantastic. Read it.
Really?
It's really interesting. I'm going to say, again, academic. So I've read a lot of academic books lately that are going over, you know, different things. But this one intertwines. So the author, Hope Jarin, however that's pronounced, is writing about her life. She starts out going through her childhood and with her relationship with her mom and her dad, and how her dad really led her to the sciences. And just that was a natural curiosity of hers that she's gone into and she studies. And then she's also, which is what she studied, is trees, flowers, seeds, and soil, like the earth. And so as she's going back, she'll give you the academic of trees and earth and soil and their purpose and what they're made of and how they grow and how they relate to each other and to our world. And then she will go into her life.
Oh.
And it's kind of like synonymous, like very similar type how we progress through lives and how you can compare us to these things that she studied so in depth. And so she goes from her childhood up through adulthood up to now. And she, along the way, has started 3 labs and has done all this research and tells you the whole history of what it takes to start a lab, which is fascinating. What it takes to be a scientist, especially a female scientist who doesn't get a lot of clout from coworkers. Again, here we go. But I had no idea. Like, so much of her day in the lab and in her job is spent writing grants so that they can continue their research. Like, they can get a grant and it'll sustain them for maybe 2 years of research.
Wow.
But they have to be able to keep money coming in to keep going with their research, to keep their lab up and running, to keep research assistants helping you with your research. Like, it is all on the edge of crumbling at any moment because the lack of funds.
Wow, that's a lot of pressure.
It was so eye-opening, the amount of money that is there for the number of scientists there are in our country and how all of them feel like what they're doing is crucial to our existence.
Isn't that
And they're
so
all
hard?
Fighting for the same pool of money, and it's not really
it can't cover
valued
everything.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Like, there needs to be more money for research in the sciences and to sustain, like, they could be unemployed just like that. And it's scary. Like,
that is scary.
And the amount of work they do for very little pay because they believe so strongly in what their research is.
That is hard.
They are night after night.
It's like for the good of the people. It's they're not trying to make money necessarily.
Yeah. They are just trying to figure these things out.
Solve problems.
And be purely from their passion and, yes, for our livelihoods.
Yeah, for the well-being of the human
race.
And
other people just don't even think, including me, don't even think about it and the importance and the, exactly.
Yeah.
So it really gave a great history of, not necessarily history, but a day in the life of a scientist and their struggles. But then a day in the life of a woman navigating life and her career and outside of her career and friendships and, is family important? Because I'm always here at the lab. Could I even think about having a family because this work is so important to get done. And so completely time consuming. And the extent, like, some guy's shutting down his lab and they go over to see him and he's like, everything's got to go. We can't keep anything. So load up a truck. So they like drive across country with this huge truck because they've got free equipment that they can take.
Oh, and my goodness.
That's how they're like, they don't have money. If they can save money on this, then they can maybe, you know, work for another couple months on it. And so they are just like scraping the bottom of the barrel a lot of times.
That's really sad.
To do research and to publish and to keep their names there so the funding keeps coming. It was so well written.
Wow.
So well written. And I learned stuff about soil and plants and how trees cross germinate. And oh my gosh, it was just so much. So very much cool. Interesting information. So I gave it 4 stars.
Awesome.
It was a great read. And just kind of a refreshing difference. Like I learned a little about, you know, actual life science,
mm-hmm.
but yet also about a person's life. So a biography and some biology. There you go.
Love there it. You go. Lab very girl. Cool.
It was fantastic.
I love it. Okay. The last book I'm going to talk about today.
Okay.
Last book.
Already?
Makes me want to cry. Is Hadley and Grace by Suzanne Redfern. Now, Suzanne Redfern wrote In an Instant, which is another book that I love.
I have not read it yet.
I loved it so much. And it's such a simple book. I just think she's a great author.
And if I remember right, you gave it 5 stars.
I gave
In an Instant
5 stars. Okay. I did. I gave Hadley and Grace 4 stars.
Okay. So another great one.
A great book. I loved it. It's like Thelma and Louise.
Hmm.
It's like that kind of like they're on the run.
Yeah,
they're on the run. A little different spin on it. She says that was definitely her inspiration, but she felt like it needed a modern spin because the world isn't the same as it was then.
So smart.
Yeah.
So true.
And so she talks about like what it would be like for a woman today and why would they run and what would that experience be like?
Yeah.
Okay. So she takes these two women that are, one is Hadley, who is kind of like a trophy wife. That's really not accurate, but just a really pretty woman who is married to a douche. Who he is not a good person.
Fantastic.
Okay. And they have a daughter who is 14 and he is abusive. Okay.
Okay.
And you hear some good descriptions of situations that they're in that are rough.
Okay.
But she has stayed with him for 15 years. For whatever reason, she's felt stuck. Then the other woman that's also involved is Grace, and she is his assistant. Same man. It's his assistant at work, and she works really hard for him. She hasn't worked for him for very long, but she has worked her tail off. He owns like parking lots and subleases parking lots to like rent them out or to
for events.
Yes. And makes quite a bit of money. Well, he's always tried to get this one lot and he's given up on it. And she's like, let me work on it. If I get this lot, will you give me 10%? And he's like, yeah, I'd give you, you're never going to get it. Sure. Well, she gets it. And when she brings him the contract, he basically is like, awesome. And doesn't give her a dime. Totally cheats her out of it. It sounds kind of like him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So she's mad and kind of real and realizes that this might be the end of the line. Like now that he's cheated her, he's going to have to let it, like, it's just going to have to end. This isn't going to work. And she has a history. And so she's been on the run before. So she doesn't want to do it again, but she doesn't know what to do. She has a like 5-month-old baby. So what in the world is she going to do? And her husband's in Afghanistan and he is a great man, but he has a gambling problem. So he gets drunk and he loses their money over and over and over again. And so she's feeling like, I can't do that anymore. I've got to protect my son. And this guy owes me money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got this other woman, Hadley, who's like, I can't stay here anymore. I got to do this for my daughter. Like, she can't live in this house anymore. They also take care of her sister's son, who has some sort of a mental disability. And they never say exactly what it is. I imagined it was like the Rain Man, something like okay. that. And he's 8 years old. And he's going to go live with his mother again. She's married now and they're going to go. So that's her way out. She's got to drive him across the country home to his mother because he could not fly. And like, it would just, yeah. It would be bad. So she's going to drive him. That's her out. She gives her time to hide.
Okay.
So she starts to go and but she needs some money and she knows that he's got a safe at his office. So she goes to the office. Needless to say, so does the assistant. She's going to steal some money and they end up together. And they're going to go escape. Just gonna
go. Take the money and run.
Yeah. But this money is dirty money and it's being watched by the FBI.
Oh, great.
Okay. So now they're on the run. So this all happens pretty quick.
Awesome.
So you watch this journey of them trying. I mean, they're just trying to save their kids and their themselves from these awful situations.
Right. They just got to get themselves out.
They don't know the money is dirty.
Right. They just think it's his money.
Yeah.
And they're going to take it.
Yeah.
And get.
And by golly, they've earned it.
Yeah.
And it's their journey trying to elude the police and her husband, Hadley's husband, and how and it all pans out. I don't want to spoil any of that. Their journey is the best part of all. And it's so fun. I loved this book. Now, I like the more I talk about it, I'm like, I should have given this 5. It was super entertaining.
Just on the run.
Two
women on the run.
And they don't necessarily, they're very different. They don't always get along. But ultimately, they care about the kids and they care about each other. They don't want anything to happen to each other, even when they don't like each other.
Yeah.
And it's just how women stick together.
Right.
And what they do with the money along the way. They're generous. It's wonderful. It's such a fun story. That sounds great. So anyway, I highly recommend it. Hadley and Grace.
Okay. Lovely.
I'm like stuck in my women's lit, man. You can't get me out of there.
You know what? I'm stuck in books. Just give me anything.
I guess Molokai wasn't women's lit. Yeah. But the rest of them were. Yeah, and they were fabulous.
They're good. They were all good and you enjoyed them.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I know.
Find your genre.
I found it.
No need to switch if... You don't need to. It's a lot of books.
I know. I love them.
Keep you busy. Okay. I'm super excited about this one because I have a new fave author, which you know of, Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yes.
We're waiting for her most recent book, Malibu Rising. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
To come out in June.
Oh, I am so excited for that book.
Yes. I just am excited about her. So she wrote Daisy Jones and the Six.
Yes.
Which was the first book I read by her and just
sucked me in. So much.
Loved it so much.
Thought it was real.
Thought it was a real band. Go read it if you haven't. And
highly recommend listening.
Yes.
You will feel like you are listening to a real life.
They have different characters.
Yeah, documentary.
Narrating it, and it's written as a documentary. So it's like interview and... them talking about life on the road of this band in the 70s, right?
Yes.
70s-ish. And just what
tour
life
was
like and starting a band in the 70s and drugs
and the different characters in the band.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. Loved it. And then I read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which you hated.
I didn't love that one.
I loved it. And I didn't even realize it was the same author.
That's the best thing ever.
Such different
totally
books.
Different.
I would have never guessed it was the same author. Had no idea till well after I read it that they were even the same author.
Totally.
And then I've heard a ton about her new book coming out. And I was excited about that because I've loved these other two. So I started looking at her other books and she's got quite a few other books.
Does she?
Yeah. So I read After I Do and it was published in 2014. And again, I loved it. 5 stars for
okay,
me.
Okay.
So
look
I
at you.
Think every one of her books I've read have been 5 stars. Okay, so
wow.
Now I've read 3 of her books. When I say
all
every one.
Three.
But I believe all 3 are 5 stars for me. So this one is about a husband and wife. They've been married for 6 years, but they knew each other for years before that. Like they've known each other a total of 11 years, but been married like 6-ish years.
Okay.
So they met in college and they have found themselves 6 years into their marriage and they've lost the spark.
Okay.
It's just, they're more irritated with each other then excited to see each other. And they're just like, what happened to us? And why are we here? And what should we do now that we found ourselves here? So it kind of starts out there, but then goes back and talks about how they met and their relationship coming to that point. So it hits the whole beginning of their relationship and how he was integrated in her family and where they went from there. And then they hit the point that they started at the beginning of the book, that what do we do? And ultimately they decide they can't live together. They've got to figure out if this is worth saving or to call it quits. And so they separate. And it just goes through that decision and then their separation. And it goes through mostly the experience of the woman, but there is some of his experience being woven into it in a very creative way that I love. I won't say anything about it, but
okay.
She's going through, like, at first she's heartbroken and she misses him and she can't imagine her life without him. And she can't imagine ever dating anybody else. He is her everything. And this is devastating. And she's just, and then she gets used to him being gone. And then she's like, maybe I could, I didn't like these things about him. And this is me. And he hates that. And so I am okay by myself. So now I know I could be okay on my own. So now I can make the decision not out of, I can't be without him or I can't be alone.
Right. Fear of being alone. Sure. But
from, is our love still there? And is it enough to keep this going? Or do we move on? And it just takes you through the whole decision process of it. Wow. And what's going on in her life during this time and a little bit of what's going on in his as she's figuring that out on her own way. And just what I loved about it is it's so realistic. It does get boring. The sparks aren't as sparky.
Sure.
That's
yes.
how I'm going to explain it.
Yes.
The further you get in to marriage and your relationship. And, you know, she complains, you come home from work. Or he complains, I come home from work and you don't even get off the couch. You just say hi. Like, what happened to that? I'm so excited to see you. I missed you so much. Yeah. And now you don't even get off the couch. You just say, hey, where should we go for dinner? Like, it's, and then they're just at each other's throat because of misunderstandings, really, and assumptions and this and that. And I think it's just very, very relatable.
Yeah.
And real.
Okay.
And I loved it. I just awesome. Loved it. Yeah.
I'm so curious to see on their what path they end up deciding what to they, do.
Yeah. Like, really what's best for them in the most loving of way, wanting what's best for each other. And if not, and not wanting to hurt each other, but having moments of anger towards each other and all the emotions that come along with marriage and separation and life.
Wow.
It was great. I loved it.
Wow. Very good.
Way to go, Taylor. Knock another one out of the park.
Seriously. Can we just get Malibu Rising already?
Right.
Well, that wraps it up for us.
Yeah.
Crazy. Another what have you wonderful read, day.
Listeners,
let us know
on this list.
What should be on our list?
Or what do you want to read from ours? And what have you been reading that we need to read? Absolutely.
For sure.
Love to hear from you.
Thanks for listening today. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. You can send us messages.
You can email us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Love hearing from you.
Thank you to Amphibious Zoo for our music.
And we'll see you next time. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.